Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church, been on the air 22 years, and never have we done just a show on heart health care. Never, not once. But today, it's on my mind because our dear friend Leon has recently had a heart attack, and he's had stents put in, and I had a heart attack scare, in fact, a few of them. And so I thought, what an honor it would be to speak to Leon's doctor, Dr. Juan Wexler. Doctor, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, it really is an honor to have you here. You are a cardiologist. Could you tell us a bit about yourself, your practice, and what I'm going to ask you about are things that I need to be concerned about, and also something that was in the news, a product in Israel of a home heart attack test kit. So we get to that a little bit later.
But certainly.
Tell me about yourself. You're a cardiologist.
So I'm an interventional cardiologist. I practice out of the Avista Hospital in Louisville. And I've most recently started a new practice there in the last 5 or 6 months. And I perform general cardiology services as well as interventional cardiology services. We're able to care for patients having heart attacks and stop the heart attack right that minute by taking them emergently to the heart catheterization lab.
Yeah, Leon said that he had gone to your office and you guys brought him immediately for treatment.
Yeah, I believe Leon and I met in the emergency department, and which is very close to my office. It's really just down the hall, which is a very convenient part of it because I'm always there, essentially, attending at the hospital. So waiting for patients to come in having just that kind of problem. And that's the kind of problem where we stop everything that we're doing, drop it, and run to the ER and take patients emergently there. And then we restore blood flow emergently to stop the heart attack, stop it right in its tracks, and minimize the kind of damage that could occur. And in fact, minimize the likelihood that patients may die, minimize heart failure, heart rhythm problems that come down the line, and essentially try and restore people's function to normal as soon as possible.
I've heard for years when we talk about the leading causes of death of adults in the U.S., and heart disease is at the top. Is it still? I haven't checked in a few years.
Bob, I've just checked recently, and according to the CDC website, we're still number one.
Number one. Now, that's good job security for you. It is true. I mean, in this office here, we have 4 men over the age of 50, and all 4 have been to the hospital, been to see cardiologists. 2 have stents, is that right? 2 of you guys? And so 2 of you have stents. And the remaining 2 of us, we've been to our cardiologist in the hospital emergency rooms. And so
I'll be sure to get my cards before.
Yeah, right. We'll pass them around. Pass them around at church, too. So America has an especially serious problem, and I think it's because of obesity. Right.
Yeah,
obesity is
certainly
a major factor.
It's a major risk factor. Obesity and also lack of activity.
Yeah.
You know, we just sit around and order food and it comes to us in our office and we sit there and type and eat and we don't expend any calories.
Well, what a great point, because not only could we eat way more than ever in history and way more sugar and all, but a lot of us work just by sitting down all day.
Sedentary lifestyle.
Let your fingers do the walking, and we just type or talk.
That's right.
And or you're on the phone or you're driving around sitting in, you know,
no
behind
hunting,
a wheel.
No gathering.
That's right. And so we have the difficulty on both ends, less physical exercise and more intake of simple carbs. And when for years I would hear, you know, on maybe the news that people in Japan or Europe are way more health conscious than Americans because they bought fresh food every day and they didn't go to restaurants and fast food. And I traveled enough to realize that they didn't do those things because they couldn't afford those things. And now, sure, as their economies are improving, which they have relatively over the last 30 years, the Japanese people are beginning to face their own obesity problem, and so are Europeans.
That's true.
So now they could afford larger refrigerators so they don't go shopping for fresh food every day, and they could go out. And in America, middle class, lower middle class, poor people can eat at McDonald's probably every day of their life if they want to.
The first world comes with consequences, Bob.
It does, right? So prosperity is not all it's cracked up to be.
That's right.
So
that's
part
right.
of...
And trying to eat healthy, if you go and you're interested in health and fresh vegetables and fresh fruit and organic foods, that costs an arm and a leg.
It costs a lot more than eating junk.
I saw a commercial for fast food burgers the other day. You could get two double burgers for $4.
Right.
It's a tremendous amount of calories, and you can eat.
Energy, and you'll feel revitalized between the protein and the simple carbs. You'll feel sort of an immediate buzz of energy from the bread and the ketchup. And then the protein will make you feel good for a while. So
and then
you
the
feel
nausea
pretty,
sets in.
Well, that's true. That's 100% true. If you eat a big meal at McDonald's, you leave sort of feeling a little bit not too great.
Yeah,
that's true. But it's addicting because it's cheap, it's easy, it does relieve stress. So there's probably two sides to it.
Comfort food.
Comfort food. And say a mom who's working and she has to get home and feed the kids, and that's all so difficult. So even though the nutrition is not great, it probably does help keep people alive.
Certainly.
So there's that factor. But generally, we're trying to survive prosperity. That's our challenge.
Exactly right. I think that's it. You summed it up well.
All right. So then when somebody is so far gone that it's not just the change in exercise and diet, but they're on their way to the emergency room or to your office, what do you do when they get to you?
So the usual first line of defense in terms of the medical care that they'll receive is in the emergency department. And so they'll visit with emergency physicians. And so we have protocols in place that are enforced by and handed down and suggested by American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association, where if a patient presents to the emergency department with chest discomfort, they should have an EKG, a 12-lead EKG, which is the cornerstone of the diagnosis of heart attack, within 10 minutes. Mm. So there should be a rapid triage policy in place at your hospital. And indeed we have that at Avista.
Within 10 minutes.
So you go to the front of the line, you know, all the runny noses, all the broken fingers, and if you have chest pain, you go to the front of the line, get a 12-lead EKG, and we immediately diagnose you whether you're having a heart attack or not.
So now wait a minute, I live in the north side of the metro area, so Avista is in Louisville. Where I need to know, just in case.
Louisville, it's essentially on the corner of Dillon Road and 88th Street.
All right, Dillon and 88th.
Correct.
Okay. So there is this emergency care, and it seems to me that it works, because when you look at the age at which men die of heart attacks, I say men and women both, of course.
Yeah, but, and that's something that often men and women don't realize, is that women are afflicted by this as well. It usually, because of the protective effects of estrogen, sets
10
in.
10 years later.
Correct. Exactly right. But it's still the number one cause of death of adult women.
Even for women, but for men 10 years earlier. And my dad had a heart attack and then a second heart attack, and he died from that at age 53. And now I'm age 53. So
that's kind of scary, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm not paranoid, actually. But I did think about it for quite a long time, and now I'm sort of at peace with it. But men were dying of their first heart attack or first or second heart attack in their 40s commonly. And now men are dying of a heart attack in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's changed significantly in the past half a century. Is that true? That's my perception.
Yeah, my perception is it goes along with the risk factors. And if this man has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, is a smoker, like you mentioned, obese and sedentary, then that poses a higher risk to them.
Even earlier, right.
Certainly.
But, absolutely.
And the family history ties into that.
That's another risk factor, your genetics.
Precisely.
Because we're sort of breaking down. We have mutations. Every generation, we have more mutations. Things don't work perfectly. But on average, though, do you think this is true or maybe not? That, well, life expectancy has increased tremendously in America in the last 50 years.
Absolutely.
Right? It's around 80 years old or so
now. I think 84.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it was like 60 or just half a century ago or so. And so the people who do die of heart attacks, they're dying of them 20 or 30 years later than they used to, on average. Do you think that's true? Or
I think the mortality rate of people with heart disease has gone down as our care of patients with the heart disease has improved.
Right.
The advent of coronary care units dramatically reduced the likelihood of someone actually dying from their event. Hmm. Then with the advent of treatment with aspirin and other antiplatelets, statin therapy, all have reduced the likelihood that you will die. So we have a lot of people living with heart disease.
Taking a baby aspirin, Johnson's baby aspirin once a day, is that a good idea?
It depends on your risk, because as with everything, there are always the risks and the benefits of whatever choice that you make.
So I do have risk of heart attack, and I've never noticed that aspirin has bothered me. So would I be somebody who would take one?
So you could. I think you should.
Is this free medical advice? I'm getting on the air.
No, I don't think it is, Bob.
Okay.
So I think if you have overall risk and it's elevated, then it may be a good idea to talk to your doctor about it. However, if your risk is low and you take an aspirin, then you may overall have a higher risk of bleeding. It's usually GI or gastrointestinal bleeding, so ulcers that may over time cause some problems and risks as well.
One more time now before we get to this story. That's been in the news that this Israeli pharmaceutical company has produced a home diagnostic test. Before we get to that, could you explain one more time for me the process? Somebody might be having a heart attack. They have chest pains and they go in to the emergency room. So you guys literally go in to look at the arteries to see if they're clogged.
Certainly.
And you clear them.
Yes, absolutely. So let's say that a patient is having chest pain. They get their EKG within 10 minutes. We diagnose what we call ST elevation MI, or someone's actually having a heart attack right in front of you. The muscle is dying, and we see that on the EKG. Then we recommend to them that they emergently get revascularized. And so we take them to literally run down the hall with the stretcher, take them to the cardiac catheterization lab, where we put in a device we call a catheter, and we thread it up to the heart. We watch it go up under X-ray, and then we shoot through that tube dye that is recorded as it's coursing through the arteries and look for blockage.
It's just astounding that we have the ability to do these things.
Bob, we have the technology.
We do, right? And thank you for doing it and dedicating your life to this. So
certainly.
So you look for blockages, and then?
And then we will put a balloon across it. And so it's generally what you're having is a clot that's formed on top of one of the plaques that you've developed because of all the risk factors that you've had over your life. And so that plaque will rupture, a clot will form, and stop blood flow immediately in that artery. So we'll clear the clot. It's usually a soft clot. with a balloon angioplasty. You may have heard of this. Mm-hmm, sure. And generally, after the artery is open, we get a good idea of how much blockage there is. Then we put the right size stent inside of that and keep the artery open.
So we have here in the studio audience, we have, I'm trying to count up how many stents. 3, 4. We have 10 stents in the studio audience. So they're keeping you in business.
It's a good start.
Right. It's a good start. But women tend to suffer from heart disease a little bit later.
Correct.
So wait your turn. Just wait. So now, how often is a heart attack a result of a blockage? Are there other things that cause a heart attack?
Certainly. When we check for the overall damage, one of the tests that we use is a troponin. Traditionally, there's been other tests, CKMB, things like this. And they detect damage in the bloodstream, and we do this in the hospital. So other reasons why people may have damage to the heart, it may be because of vasospasm, where you don't really have a blockage, but the artery itself will spasm down. It's like there's a muscle around it and will limit blood flow that
right.
way.
Is that some form of angina?
It leads to a very similar situation with low blood flow. It can even lead to myocardial infarction and heart attack.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there are other factors. And then somebody that has irregular rapid heartbeat, I think they've been learning that there are nerves that misfire and they cause irregular heartbeat.
You may be referring to atrial fibrillation,
yeah.
And what we have found, and there was a New England Journal of Medicine article about this a few years back, that many times you have the stimulus for the atrial fibrillation coming from the pulmonary veins that are draining into the left atrium. And just within 1 centimeter of entering the heart, you have all of this chaotic electrical rhythm that's occurring in the pulmonary veins. And now
so don't they actually zap that?
Doctors have figured out a way to go in there with a catheter and zap that and electrically isolate the pulmonary veins and essentially curing atrial fibrillation in some cases.
Right, exactly. I had an interest in that. I think I read that exact article back when it came out.
Sure.
So because of a friend, a relative who had that. So there are a lot of things that could go wrong. Of course, our anatomy is complex.
Certainly.
There's a lot of parts to it.
Yeah.
I just read that.
They're moving parts. You know, the mechanics, they stop their engine while we're working on it. We do it with the engine running.
Wow, what a good point. I just read an article on elephants, of all things, and an elephant's trunk has 40,000 different muscles, just his trunk.
Fascinating.
Right? Where do you get these things?
Who would have thunk it?
But, right. But our circulatory system is very complex. And that heart, that pump, I noticed one article years ago, and I always remember this, that it was, when does the heart start beating? And the article pointed out that it actually starts beating before it's a heart. There are cells that will differentiate, and they're pulsating from the beginning. And as the chambers are being formed, they're pulsating the whole time.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's just
I've done some basic research, and we took heart tissue and we're examining it under the microscope, and it's been in a dish in an incubator, and it's just cells, and you look at it in the microscope and it's beating.
And it's beating.
It's amazing.
Our heart, you know, when I was young, I used to think if you go on an airplane, the wings would just fall off. And I realized that engineers design wings so that they don't fall off. When I found out they put the fuel in the wings, I thought, oh no, that'll make them heavier. They'll definitely fall off. But it's the wings that hold up the fuselage.
Yeah.
So there's no, you don't have to worry about the wings falling off. In our heart is designed to pump. It wants to pump. That's all it wants to do. You just give it the opportunity and it's going to pump.
That's what it does.
Isn't that amazing?
Fascinating.
Wow. Okay. So all these things could go wrong. And there are people then who have chest pains. What are the symptoms that somebody should stop what they're doing and go right into either the emergency room or an office like yours, or yes or no with that?
Certainly. If they're having chest pain, and we like to say don't mess with chest pain, because we also say time is muscle. So if you're having a heart attack, you want to get into the emergency department as soon as possible so we can put you through these tests and get you the EKG. And if indeed you're having a heart attack, we can stop the heart attack and take you to the catheterization lab immediately and preserve muscle.
So don't mess with chest pain. In a moment, I'm going to tell you about a big mess I had. But, okay, so you have some symptoms and you go in right away. They're such that, and what are those symptoms again?
So you have in your chest, it's usually a dull pain. It can be squeeze or achy type pain. It can be associated with nausea, vomiting. These are associated symptoms, but not necessary. Shortness of breath. Mm. The pain can radiate down the inside of your arm, usually the left arm. Mm-hmm. But people can also present atypically. I've seen back pain, neck pain. Wow. Present as angina.
Yeah, so there's a certain amount of uncertainty, but is it usually sudden or no?
We usually say it's not sudden. It usually comes on. The word we use is crescendo. It kind of comes over you over a few minutes and kind of builds. Sudden, all of a sudden, chest pain is often something else. It can be something dangerous also, but it's often something else.
So about 12 years ago, I was running up a stairway with a stack of DVDs that we were mailing out to subscribers of ours all over the country. And I took one step up those stairs. I was running up the stairs, and in an instant, I had sharp pain through my entire chest, front to back, where I felt like I could feel my rib cage.
Wow.
That's what I felt like. Never had any such thing, never heard of such a thing. Went to the emergency room. You know, what do I know? I don't know. I'm an amateur. So went to the emergency room, and, you know, it did cost a fortune, and I did find out that I was not having a heart attack. So I had some kind of muscle spasm. I don't know what it was.
You probably also found out you're underinsured.
Yeah, I found that out too. I found that exactly out. So anyway, okay, so now could we talk about this company in Israel? I'd love to ask you about it, what you know about it, Novamed. And they have this new product that's for sale in just a few countries now, but not the U.S.
Okay.
Do you know about it? Could you describe it? And then we'll talk about it.
I've looked into it a little here, Bob, and essentially what it amounts to is this troponin test that we talked about that we run in the emergency room that is very specific to look for damage to the heart. It's troponin and also a fatty acid binding protein, and both of those come in this assay. And what it looks for is little bits of heart tissue that are floating around in your bloodstream, and then they analyze it.
So in other words, if you're having a heart attack, as that heart muscle is dying, some of what should be inside the heart ends up in your blood, your circulatory system.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's what we're picking up.
So when you go into the emergency room, not only will they do an EKG, they give you a blood test.
They give you several blood tests. And usually what we do is have one on presentation. So once you get there, you do the EKG, a chest x-ray, this blood work, other blood work, and then let's say the initial one is negative, you don't know everything you need to know just from that test because you may have missed it. You may have had the chest pain, and it just hasn't hit the bloodstream enough so that you can detect it. Mm-hmm. So then we do serial enzymes and serial markers several hours later to make sure we haven't missed the window of the heart attack detection.
So this Novamed, a company based in Jerusalem, they've developed this technique. I imagine they've patented it because it's an amazing technique where they filter. They require just one drop of blood, and they call the product that they sell SensaHeart. It's not available here. I tried to get it. I couldn't get it here. Maybe I'd go to jail if I got it.
eBay. Try.
Okay. I have to try eBay. And so they take one drop of blood, and they filter out all the platelets and all that you don't need. And they end up with a little bit of fluid, and they test it for that. How do you pronounce that? Troponin?
Troponin.
Troponin. So they test for troponin, and then they give you a yes or a no, a red or a green. You're likely having a heart attack, or it doesn't look like you're having a heart attack.
Right. That's what it looks like.
So what do you think about this kind of test? Now, the FDA last month, they approved the first ever home HIV test. But that's a very different kind of thing, right?
I agree with you, Bob, because HIV is a chronic condition, And it's almost like, you know, you have a home pregnancy test, you have a home HIV test, and in both cases, they're fairly chronic conditions, and you're not going to do a great deal different.
In other
medically.
Words, it's not an emergency the moment, whereas a heart attack, you might die within the next 10 minutes.
That's right.
So, and I don't know about calling pregnancy a chronic condition, but it's not an emergency at that moment, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
So, whereas HIV, if you're positive, then it is chronic. And of course, you want medical care, but the immediacy is not there.
Exactly.
As with a heart attack.
Right.
So, what are your thoughts? I'm interested in your thoughts about a test like this. You know, what do you think?
I feel mixed about it because I certainly understand your situation where you were concerned that you were having a heart attack. You went into the hospital and
I'll tell you what it cost us out of pocket, $10,000.
Yeah,
and to find out I'm not having a heart attack,
and that's criminal. And
I don't think it's criminal. I'm thankful, but it's very hard to deal with.
Certainly,
it's very hard.
Yeah. So again, because of situations just like yours, I'm mixed. But I try to put myself or patients in that situation, and I wonder, should they be running to the emergency room to come see us? And if they are having a heart attack, take care of them. Because if they are having a heart attack, they could have a lethal heart rhythm. They could go into cardiogenic shock and die.
Right.
And I'd much prefer that they did that with us so that we could take care of them rather than run to
CVS, right?
Yeah, and then go and take care
and
of
get
of
the
this
test,
and find out they're having a heart attack, and so then
they've wasted maybe a half hour or more, or maybe they're at work, they go home, they go to the pharmacy, they take the test,
right?
So, well, in my case, about 6 years after that, I had my second false alarm heart attack.
Oh wow!
And we've raised 7 boys. We still have 3 boys at home. And we live like most Americans, month to month. We get our paycheck, we pay our mortgage, we pay our bills. And it's really rough. You end up putting your health care on a credit card. And so then the second time, which was 6 years later, and I don't think of myself as a hypochondriac. I never go to the doctor. I don't take prescription drugs. But then the second time, again, it cost $10,000. And last time, half a year ago, my wife and I went to the emergency room 2 a.m, and we sat there. I wouldn't get out of the car for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I said, I think I might not be having a heart attack. And we went to a clinic, and they gave me a blood test, and they said, I can't pronounce it, troponin.
Perfect.
They said, I didn't have troponin. So they said, you should have gone to the emergency room, but you're probably not having a heart attack.
Oh, good.
So you have mixed feelings on this. We're about out of time.
Okay.
But that's your judgment. You want people to go right in.
I do.
But for some people, maybe this would help. Like, I'd keep it in my glove compartment.
Right. You know, like I said, when we come to the emergency room, we do serial tests. So even one normal test doesn't mean that you haven't had a heart attack within the last hour.
Wow.
And maybe you need 2 tests.
Very good point. So that you could end up with a false sense of security.
A false negative, essentially, yes.
And with everything, you know, with technology, things tend to work better over time.
Agreed.
But the question is, how much time will each of us have? So thank you, Dr. Juan Wexler.
It's
been an honor to have you in studio. Dr. Wexler works at Avista Hospital in Louisville. Leon's looking great, so that's a testimony to the doctor's skill. And God bless you guys.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.